You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff.
Something is wrong with me.
Practice.
Welcome to another edition of Positive Cynicism. I am your host, Chad Smart. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Smart. And if you're following me on Twitter, then you're probably aware that I have started what I'm calling the Summer of Positivity, or I guess that's hashtag Summer of Positivity. Every morning I start off the day with a little positive affirmation, and I'm going to try to use this to spread the word of the Positive Cynicism podcast, but also I want to give back to the listeners. So pretty much my plan is, hopefully for every episode over the summer now through the end of August, every episode of Positive Cynicism will involve some sort of giveaway. Why? Because if you bribe people with free stuff, hopefully they'll be more inclined to listen and do as you say. If you are interested in this week's giveaway, stick around till the end of the show. Oh yeah, I'm making you stay to the end. You never know where this is going to come in the episode, so you're going to have to listen to the whole thing. But I'm giving you a hint right now. This one will come at the end of the episode. In the future, like I said, still work in progress, so I'm still working on things. But we have a great lineup of episodes coming here to the Positive Cynicism brand. Over the next 3 months, you know, this week we have Question Everything with teacher and author Jenna Jameson. Next month's Question Everything, I believe, if everything goes well, if I can work him into his busy schedule, is Greg Mahochko, the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, because really, if it wasn't for him, none of us would be here. So let's talk to him and see what he's got going on. The next installment, our next episode, is Wonder Why, which has become a popular segment here on Positive Cynicism. That will be going on all summer. We've got some good, I think, ideas lined up, good suggestions and everything for that show. And then starting the second week of the month in June, following on every second week for the next 4 months, my friend Eric Bennett, who's been on the show before to talk about fandom, we are going to break down the history and evolution of the summer blockbuster, because we are in blockbuster season. Had I actually had better planning and foresight, we would have kicked it off this month with the release of Avengers Infinity War and Deadpool 2 and the upcoming Solo movie being out in theaters, but we'll kick that off next month. And I am really looking forward to that series because it is just, there's so much information that I'm not really sure how we're going to wrap everything up or discuss everything. So it may end up being a bigger series than we are planning, but we'll see how it goes. I think if you like this sort of breakdown and analysis, I hope you're going to really enjoy this series. And then I've been talking with Tom Skull, from Tom and Jim's Top 5 and the Skull Buster Russell cast. I think I got it right this time. But possibly bringing him onto the show as a recurring guest, just trying to come up with the proper venue to use his talents. So I look forward to that. In addition to positive cynicism, it's so easy for me to type, terrible for me to say. There are other great shows here on the Positive, it's not the Positive Cynicism Podcast Network, it is the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. JitteryMonkey.com. There are other shows that you should be listening to. I mentioned Greg Mahochko, the founder. He has two shows. He has Nerd United, which talks nerd stuff. And then he has Five Heartbeats that talks Nebraska stuff. A nerd from Nebraska. It's like a building with two buildings, one of which is balding. I don't know what that means, but just go listen to his shows. And then Kevin Huntsberger has the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I'm going to say you might want to check that one out now, because after the end of May, I don't know if Kevin's going to have that show coming around. He may be on the DL for some time. He is stepping back into the wrestling ring, and I don't like his chances of coming out of a cage match in one piece. I unfortunately could not make it there. I can't wait to see the video. I wish him the best of luck. But, you know, sometimes you just don't go around. It's never wise to kick someone in the dinky. If you don't know what I'm referring to, go over to my 123 cents. Check it out. Listen to him. He will explain everything. But for now, again, this is the Summer of Positivity. Giveaways galore. And stick around, because after the interview, or after the commercial break, we have what I think is a really good interview with Jenna Jameson, and we'll discuss her book, Giving Back.
Hey everyone, Kevin Huntsberger here from My 123 Cents, the podcast, and my123cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion too. Again, it's My 123 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective.
What is the meaning of life? Do aliens exist? How much wood can a woodchuck chuck? Why do superheroes wear their underwear on the outside? It's Question Everything. In the hot seat tonight, teacher and author, Jenna Jameson.
Yes, as I mentioned in the opening, I am joined today for today's Question Everything segment by teacher Jenna. I'm going to use your full name just because of the... We'll get into it in a minute, but Jenna, and I hope I pronounce this correct, Renee Parbati Jameson?
Yeah, Jenna Roddy Parbati Jameson.
Okay. And you are a teacher in Southern Illinois, and you've also written this book called Giving Back, Lessons from an Adopted Immigrant on Why a Happy Life is About Helping Others. And that's what brought you to my attention, is I guess a mutual friend of ours, Tom Harness, had retweeted a tweet you had sent about helping stuff backpacks. And got me interested, because this whole podcast, part of the purpose of it is to promote charitable organizations or people helping to make a difference in a positive way. So let's start, I guess, at the beginning, because as the subtitle of your book says, you are an adopted immigrant. Can you explain, give a little background on your history?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So I was adopted by my single mother. She's American, so we don't look alike at all. But when I was 4 months, I was actually left on the streets of Calcutta, and my biological mother would have just cut the umbilical cord and left me there, and then somebody turned me over to a Mother Teresa orphanage, and then I was adopted by her at 4 months, and then I ended up in Carbondale, Illinois, and here I am now.
Wow. Quite, I'm sure, a cultural change, which at 4 months, probably not that big of a difference to you, but...
Yeah, definitely not like a huge difference probably at the time, but I think as I've gone through life, like people are like, or specifically my students are like, don't you hate Carbondale? Like, I hate this place. Like, I hate it. And I think when you come from something like that type of experience, like, you know you were born on the streets and you know that you had an infection of the umbilical cord, it may have give you new perspective on, like, no, actually, Carbondale, Illinois is not too bad.
Yeah, no, I can really, it's, yes, when you're familiar with only one thing, you don't know, I guess, the good or the bad of a different situation. Now, sorry, I lost my train of thought. You have not been back to India yet, correct?
I have not, but that's on my bucket list. I hope one day I get to make it back there. I think going back, though, I think would be a huge, like, eye-opener just in terms of all the things that I've been afforded with and just being in Carbondale, Illinois, just because I know there's so much poverty in Calcutta. I've read several books about Calcutta and done research on Calcutta, looked up kind of some of the orphanages that Mother Teresa started, and I think it would be definitely something that I want to explore and experience someday.
Interesting.
Now, in your book, you mentioned, I believe when you were 7 years old, talking with your adopted mother, or I guess your mother, if you, you know, I have a stepdad that I've known my entire life. My father passed away when I was very young, and so my stepdad, and I just refer to him as dad. Are you the same way that your mom is just your mom?
That's just my mom. That's all I know.
Right. Okay. I just want to make that clear before I go any further. But you mentioned in your book, I think one time you were driving with your mom and talked about going over to India and helping, like trying to find your biological mother and then helping her out. Is this, I guess, have you always had this desire or gift of wanting to give back and wanting to make a positive impact?
I think probably I didn't know that that's what I wanted to do when I was younger. I may have realized that India had a lot of poverty just from conversations I had with my mother, but I think when I really realized I wanted to give back was probably in high school. I did a lot of volunteering at the local library, reading to students. I also volunteered to help a teacher that was struggling during that time, and I think that's when I was like, this is really cool. Like, I like volunteering. I really enjoy seeing how others feel when I help them.
Nice. And what was the inspiration for writing the book then?
I think, honestly, the book is just a culmination of all the people that have inspired me and helped me along the way. I think the path of writing the book actually is just someone that I met that was working with high school students that was working on a CEO program, and he wrote a book, and I had started writing the book 3 years earlier, and I was like, am I going to finish this? Am I not going to finish this? And when I met him, he's like, yeah, you have to finish this. Like, I'll help you finish this. And so I think just that random meeting with that person inspired me to, like, yes, I should finish this. I've started it. I should finish it. Maybe it will help inspire other people to want to give back. Because honestly, this book isn't about me wanting to make money or wanting to become famous or anything like that. The book is really just to help maybe put some perspective in other people's lives. Like, okay, maybe they will be inspired to want to give back to other people, or maybe change even their thinking of, like, okay, I look at things in a negative way. Maybe I can see the silver lining in life instead of the negativity that so much is seen on the internet and on TV. There's a lot that goes around, but we can always try and at least find a way to see some positive in each situation that we're in.
Yeah, and I think that is an important aspect of life right now, is just trying to phase out the negativity and focus on that positive. And as you said, we get bogged down because we're hit with so much negativity from social media, from the regular media, television, that putting and not to completely ignore it, because you want to use it as a way to address situations, but definitely focusing on positive is a step in the right direction.
And I think just it's required just to be able to get through life, because honestly, life in and of itself is kind of a challenge. Like, where we wake up with challenges that we're going to face. Like, each day you're going to have things that aren't going to go the way you expect them to go. You may spill coffee. You may get a flat tire. You may have your boss yell at you or get a pink slip or something like that may happen. But there is a way to find some sort of positive spin on those situations. And if we can find those, our life's going to be a lot happier than if we just look at those as really bad experiences.
So true. Now, how long did it take you to finish the book? Because you said you'd started 3 years early, but...
Yeah, I think the book was a 4 to 5 year process. I had initially started it with just sharing experiences of my grandfather, who I really, really admired and respected, and thought, okay, well, I'm just going to share all the experiences and things that he gave me, because I feel so lucky to have had him in my life. And then I just kind of branched it out and added some of the things that really, really, that I value. And basically what I value a lot is just giving back and volunteering in my community. And I think if more people would be willing to volunteer and give back, and not every single day, not probably as much as I do, but even in a small capacity, just being willing to volunteer, whether it's at a American Heart Association walk or at your local library or your public schools, that would just make a difference in terms of connecting with other people, but also making you feel good about yourself. Because actually, by volunteering and giving back, you actually also get something in return, and that's just purpose, giving yourself some purpose.
And I know you, I saw it on your website, and I think you briefly mentioned it in your book, is something called, and I hope I get this correct, the birthday challenge, or is that the correct term?
Yeah, that's absolutely really what it is. It's just Project Kindness, and it's just about using your birthday as a way to make sure you're giving back throughout the year. So, for example, if you're 15, to make it that you're going to do a minimum of 15 random acts of kindness throughout the year. They can be simple because not everyone has the ability to do complex or has the money to be able to do complex random acts of kindness. But for example, if you see a veteran's license plate, then you take a piece of paper and you just write a quick note saying, thanks for your service. We appreciate that you are willing to serve our country and protect us. Taking home-baked cookies to a fire department. I actually just cut my hair 10 inches off my hair to donate to Pantene Beautiful Links. So stuff like that that doesn't really cost, it's not going to cost you a lot of money, but it can still make a difference in the world. And I think that's really my goal. Volunteering, you know, like it usually doesn't cost you to volunteer. You can just go, and there's so many organizations, there's so many nonprofits that need volunteers. Schools, public libraries, the American Heart Association. For Kids Sake, that's a local organization that provides education in Bangladesh. Things like that are what I hope other people are willing to at least consider.
Yeah, I think volunteering is an important issue. You bring up For Kids Sake, which is probably one charity that I semi-regularly donate to because I know the Shema, the founder of it, or not founder, but you know, the coordinator in Southern Illinois. We've been friends for over a decade, and she always, like when I do the donation, she's like, oh, thanks for the support. And I'm like, you know, it's very easy for me to make a donation because it takes nothing of my time. It takes 30 seconds to fill out an online form and just send money. But you're right, volunteering is much more, I think, rewarding because it is more personal. Because you get to actually interact with people, you get to, you know, get to know people, share stories, and have that feeling of actually doing good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something for people to actually really, really consider, and not just volunteering, but actually the commitment it gives you to a specific organization or a specific event that's beneficial for you. The networking that you can do from volunteering, I think. Honestly, I think much of my success is attributed to all the networking that I've done. It's not because of me. It's not because I'm some fabulous person. It's because of all the other people in my life. It's the people that I've met that have taught me lessons. Just the person that does CEO, the person that does For Kids Sake, Tom Harness. There's just so many people that teach you lessons and that actually help you with your success. So I think people, if they look at volunteering as not just volunteering or just not, oh, I'm just giving up my time and I don't have any time available to give up, you're actually gaining from volunteering as well. You're networking with people that may be able to help you one day or may be able to give you a reference or just looking at it through that perspective as well.
Yeah. So one of your, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that brought me to your attention was this backpack campaign. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Backpacks for Success, that's actually just a general name that I came up with SIU. I was in Key Club throughout high school, and we did lots of volunteering and community service, basically, is what Key Club is all about. And then when I graduated from high school, I generally started a little bit working with the Boys and Girls Club, but mostly once I got done with my bachelor's degree, I started grad school, and the director Tina Carpenter of the Boys and Girls Club in Carbondale had reached out to me and said, we really need help getting backpacks. And I said, well, I can help generally just on a personal level by going and buying some backpacks for you, but I don't know if there's any other way that I can actually get backpacks beyond what I buy out of my own pocket. So I started buying not tons, but some backpacks out of my own pocket, taking them to the Boys and Girls Club of Carbondale and just trying to help out when I could. And then I actually started working for District 95, which is the elementary school district for Carbondale. And I realized, wow, there's actually a huge need for gloves and hats and backpacks, all these students that are really, really struggling. And so I worked hard to partner with Circle K of SIU to come up with this backpack drive in order to get backpacks donated. So this is actually just the second year that we've done it, and we really reach out into the community and hope that community members will donate backpacks. I had a box at the neighborhood co-op this year, which was hugely successful in terms of getting people to not only aware of the project, but also willing to donate backpacks. So it was awesome. I think last year we had 50 backpacks donated, and this year I had over 100 backpacks donated, so basically doubled. I also did some grant work to help ensure that we were going to be able to get enough backpacks to donate. So we also we split the backpacks between the Boys and Girls Club and also Carbondale High School, since that's where I teach.
Okay. And what do you teach, if you might? Talk a little bit about
So I actually teach consumer education, which generally just means I teach the students all the things they need to know but don't want to know in this point in their life. So it's taxes, checking accounts, banking, insurance, budgeting, career exploration. So basically some of the things they might want to do after high school. But juniors, you can kind of relate. They can find some relevance. The sophomores, it's like really a stretch to try and convince them that what I'm teaching is going to be relevant in their lives. Mostly though, my goal in class is just to make sure the students become a better human being by the end of class. So understanding that I think as a consumer, part of it is realizing that you want to go out and have good citizens that are going to contribute to society so that they understand how to communicate effectively or how to be kind to one another. Those are the types of things I really hope that I instill in the students by the end of the semester, because I have students for one semester, not a year.
Okay. I'm going to try an awkward segue here.
Okay.
In your book, you have a little story about your then fiance and how he would text and drive. And with students today, I see this when I go out and see the younger generation. They're always on their phones. Do you think it is possible, with the way that we are so ingrained to be attached to our phones right now, to kind of change that mentality? Because you'll see people, you know, just you can have a group of five or six people all together, and none of them are talking physically with each other. It's all through text and, you know, Snapchat or whatever. And I think we're losing sight of the bigger connective issue and socialization with this. Do you see this as a problem in schools, or do you have a suggestion on a way to kind of change that mentality?
It definitely is a problem. Schools experience it, especially Carbondale High School. They allow phones throughout the entire day. So in the passing periods, there's 5 minutes between classes. They're allowed to whip out their phones whenever they want. And another thing with Carbondale High School is each teacher is allowed to set their standard. So it's not like every teacher has the same standard. Like when the bell rings, you get in class, you sit down, the phone's away. So I think that definitely is a struggle. And I think when I walk down the halls during lunch, there's two lunches, you see more students on phones than you do have communicating. I think that I don't want to give up on the fact that phones and technology are a part of people's lives, but I think that in order to bridge it, the only way we can bridge it is just by communicating with the students as much as possible, verbally, rather than through computers. I think there are some teachers that love love to use technology, and they do use technology regularly in the classroom, and that's even how they communicate. I know lots of teachers that email all the assignments to the students, and that's the students know to go to their email and open them. I have a no phone policy in my classroom, so I do tend to try and do more verbal communication with my students. And I also think, in general, just I have a lot of conversations that are just about, like, in my classroom. Why are you disrespectful? Why is life so hard for you right now? What can we do to try and fix the problems that you're facing at home, or the situation that you're feeling uncomfortable about? I think that's the best way, and I think the only way, honestly, is to connect with them on a level where they feel like you actually care. Because I think a lot of the students I have in class, their home environment is so poor that they're looking for escapes, like using Snapchat and using technology to get away from what they're feeling at home.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because Southern Illinois, unfortunately, is not, and I don't want to sound insulting when I say this, but it's not really a hotbed of opportunity. I think it's somewhat getting better since I left there 10, 11 years ago, but I was just seeing a story the other day about, and I always mispronounce the town, because it's not Cairo like Egypt, it's Cairo, right?
Yeah.
Cairo, where, you know, I think something like the median income is, I think around $20,000 or less. It's not, so you have these situations where, yes, it's definitely, the opportunity is very limited. And, yeah. So then,
I think Fairco is a good example of, like, some of the problems that Southern Illinois is facing, because I don't think it's just Carroll. I think you have Meridian, you mm-hmm. have Century, you have Egyptian. A lot of those southern districts, my mom was a teacher at Century, which is right close to Cairo. She actually lived in Cairo at one point in her life, and it's a struggle, and honestly, I think it has really decreased over time, and I think hopefully they're trying to rebuild it, but I think they just closed tons of housing that a lot of people that were struggling will now be displaced and trying to figure out where they're going to go or how they're going to survive. Because I think, and even just in Carbondale, it's hard to compare even to Carroll, but Carbondale, there are a lot of students that live, more than half, that live below the poverty level in the Carbondale High School's school district.
And I know last year on a previous episode, I had a friend who's a college professor, and we discussed, you know, the importance of going to college versus trade school or getting a skill. Do you see in the high school now, like when I was in high school, it was kind of like expected that you would go to college. And we're seeing that college isn't necessarily the best, the guaranteed route to, if you want to call it success, you know, each person defines success differently. But as a teacher today, do you see college as the important, or just getting the job skills to better? Like,
I think probably I don't see college as vital or as important as it was. I actually feel as though when I was in high school, which was over 10 years ago, I feel as though that college was kind of shoved down mm-hmm. my throat, as if like that was what you do. Like,
right.
I think there's this conception in America, or this idea that you graduate from high school, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you buy a house, you have kids, like this is what you do in America, like this is the way you live your life, this is mm-hmm. how you become happy. And we almost do put this little package in a box and put a bow on it, and we're like, okay, if you do all this, you're gonna live a happy life. But in reality, even if you go through that step and you go through that process, not necessarily going to be happy. And I think generally when I did kind of go through that process, I went to college, but I don't necessarily think college really helped me mm-hmm. necessarily. I'm a teacher. I didn't go to school to become a teacher. I got a provisional license to teach, but I didn't go to school to become a teacher. And I think in Carbondale specifically, I think we are a high school where we do try and say that every student can go to college, every student has potential, every student will do well in college, and that by going to college, you're going to have a guaranteed more opportunities, and you're going to make more money, and you're going to be happier if you go to college. But I think part of the problem is college isn't for every single student, and college isn't going to equate to getting a better job. Mm-hmm. It's not going to equate necessarily making more money or being happier, because in reality, you may go to college, I did this, and then you can't find a job as soon as you graduate. You can't find a job for 2 years after you graduate, or you find a job, but it's not in your field, and it doesn't provide the amount of money that you thought it was going to provide. So now you have all these student loans, and you're working a job at a retail store in fast food because you can't find a job out in your field. I think part of that is a problem because, for one, you're going to have too many students that are going to college thinking this, and then they're going to get out and realize that that's not necessarily the case. They're going to be able to get a job. And then we're also losing out on all those students that potentially could be great students in a specific trade, like an electrician or a plumber or those types of specific career fields. And I think that's a problem. I actually teach it within the Career and Technical Education Department at Cardinal High School, which is CTE. And that would be the department where we would hope to see students going down those going to trade schools and going in vocational directions. Automotive, there's tons of students that are interested in automotive. There's tons of students that are interested in graphics communications, where you could potentially go to a junior college and go that avenue if you wanted. Hairstyles, stuff like that, that I think Cardinal High School tends to hope that they'll go to college and still maybe consider that career field, but that they'll still go and get a four-year degree. I don't think that's necessarily the right choice, but I don't know that that's the wrong choice as well. Mm-hmm. I think it probably depends largely on the person. I think for the types of students that we have, there's lots of students that would be so extremely successful in a specific trade.
Yeah, no, you made a good point about how we kind of have this blueprint for life, where you go to school, go to college, get a job, get married, have the two kids, white picket fence. And I think that mentality kind of adds stress to a person's life, because if you don't succeed at one phase, then it's like, okay, what am I doing wrong? And going back kind of like to get back into the giving back and helping people is like, that's where communication comes in, and talking with people and kind of letting people know that it's okay if things don't follow the certain path. Like, there is no set path in life. Life is just going to be life.
Yeah, and life is like a big complex puzzle of ups and downs and vertical lines and horizontal lines and zigzag lines. It's not going to be some straight line where we can put little marks on the line where we're going to be at in life. It's just not realistic to think that. And I think we almost set some of our high school students up for failure by saying, okay, well, you're going to go to college for 4 years, and then you're going to be able to get this high-paying job, and you're going to be successful in your career. Because, I mean, truthfully, there's more people that have done that, and that's not the way it's worked out for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not realistic, really, to be telling high school students. And just at that age, there's so many unknowns when you're 18 or 17 years old and you're trying to figure out life. So for an adult or for someone to be coaching you that this is going to work and this is how it's going to be done, they're willing to accept that because they don't know any different, and they're having an adult tell them that this is going to work out, don't worry.
Yeah, and yes, you kind of have to get through life to figure out life in itself. Like, you never, I've known somewhat what I wanted to do since I was 4 years old. Now that I'm kind of not doing exactly that, but in the same field, I'm like, okay, this isn't as fulfilling as I thought it would be, or it's not as good, or priorities change through life. So you have to have that flexibility to adjust. And yeah, I think when you go, just if you have that checklist in life and say, this is what I'm going to do, either you miss out or you get stressed out because you're putting too much pressure on yourself. with the book, what is, I guess, the one takeaway that you would want people to take away from reading the book?
I think the biggest takeaway is probably that there's a silver lining or something positive that you can gain from each situation that you're put in or each situation that you face. I think a lot of times we're quick to judge other people or we're quick to judge a situation we're in. For example, I think in the book I have an example where I go into the Jackson County Courthouse and I'm in a hurry and I need to get to the ROE and I have my phone on me and there's 18 signs before I get to the scanner to put my stuff on the conveyor belt so that I can get through the courthouse that say no cell phones allowed, and yet I'm that person that's walking through the courthouse and of course I have my cell phone and I don't pay attention to the signs, and so the person that's there at the belt says in a very matter-of-fact voice, do you have your cell phone? I'm like, yeah, I do. He goes, did you not read all the signs that you just passed before you came in the door? No, I guess not. And at that point, like, I was a little offended. I was like, did he have to be so matter-of-fact with me? Did he have to, like, use that tone of voice towards me for bringing in my cell phone? But when I put it into perspective and I said, he probably encounters, say, 1,000 people coming through that door, and 600 of those 1,000 people are bringing in their cell phone. Yes, it probably gets annoying. It wasn't that he was trying to offend me or be disrespectful, but if I just put myself in his shoes and look at it from a different perspective, I can realize, okay, yeah, I was stupid. I should have read the 18 signs that said no cell phone, and that I should think about how maybe he's feeling rather than feeling sorry for myself that I just got told that I can't bring my cell phone into a courthouse. I think that's the takeaway from the book, is that we can all kind of figure out that, yeah, people are going through other things. It's not always all about us, that we're trying to think about what other people are going through, that other people are facing battles and have their own challenges, and that by always putting, as Americans and as humans in general, we tend to, oh, well, they hurt my feelings, you know, they did this to me, or it's all about me. But if we can try and alleviate that a little bit by thinking beyond ourselves, which is hard, I know it's human nature to think about ourselves, but to just be willing to accept that other people are going through things too. I don't know what his life, that officer that was standing there, his life is outside of work. He could have cancer, he could have a wife going through lots of different things, he could have had a bad morning himself. So for us to think beyond ourselves is just something I think that's really, really important. And I think that's part of giving back, just thinking of others rather than just ourselves.
It's a very important lesson, and hopefully, like I said, more people can be more aware of others. And yes, taking yourself out of the equation, you're going to have a better life because, like I said, it's not all about you. Now, when did this book come out?
This book actually came out about a year ago. It'll be a year in June, about the middle of June.
Okay. Are there plans for a follow-up? Do you see yourself as a writer writing more?
I don't really know. To be honest, I think if I did a follow-up, I really would just want to highlight stories of other people that are giving back and volunteering and spotlighting other positive things that are going on. I don't think it'd necessarily be lessons from me, but lessons that other people give me just through stories. For example, a story that you've done potentially that would say, that would highlight one chapter of something that you've done to impact someone else's life, and then another chapter on someone else. I kind of would love to go around and just have some random strangers and meet random people that have done random acts of kindness, and then have a chapter for each person that highlights some positive things that are going on in the world, just because I think that would help give ideas to people on how can I give back, or what are other people doing to give back? What are some positive stories that would inspire other people?
Well, we'll be looking forward to that, hopefully in the next 5 to 10 years. Okay, well, thank you for joining me on this episode. It's been great. Before we leave, where can people find you know, if they want a copy of the book, where can they order it? Because as I mentioned before we went on the air, if you go to Amazon and try to look up your name under books, you're going to find something slightly different. But where can people order the book?
Absolutely. So if you're interested in the book, you just go to JennaRPJameson.com. You will be able to learn more about the book, learn more about Project Kindness. If you have questions for me, anything like that, that's where you can get more information.
And you do have the blog that you still update and pass on positivity?
I do. So the blog is kind of just like my own personal thoughts on how to put a positive spin on life. And a lot of times these days it's about teaching, because that's where most of my energy and focus is. But sometimes it's on random things that I've done in the community or community projects that I'm helping with. SIU graduation's coming up, so that'll be an entire day of volunteering coming up. And then there's some other volunteer things that I'll be doing later on in May that I'll probably spotlight for the next vlog. I mean, usually it's just once a month, and it's just some sort of optimistic view that I can put out there for other people to read.
Nice. Well, again, thank you for joining me. We're looking forward to keeping up to date with all the volunteering, and hopefully, like I said, that Nobel Prize will be in your future for just positivity. Like, it's so great to see people giving back, and hopefully through your acts of kindness, through this podcast here, through Tom Harness's work, hopefully, you know, we can turn this society around and go in a good direction.
And you have a birthday coming up, right? So that means you're jumping on this bandwagon.
I do, actually. By the time this episode airs, my birthday will have passed. And yes, that was also one of the reasons why I wanted you on for this month, is because I wanted to mention that, yes, I am taking the birthday challenge, the Project Kindness, and I'm not going to say how many acts of kindness there will be this year, but definitely that is an inspiration.
All right. Well, I will look forward to seeing some of the random acts of kindness that you're doing throughout the year as you start Project Kindness, and hope that you continue it each year to keep giving back.
Yes. Sounds good. Thank you again, Jenna. And like I said, we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network and host of the Nerds United Podcast. And what will you hear on the Nerds United Podcast? Well, you'll hear conversations with me and artists or writers, creators of comic books. You'll hear panel discussions from some various regional comic cons. You'll hear cosplay. You'll have celebrity interviews. It all happens here on Nerds United. You never know what to expect. Sometimes you might just get into a half hour of me rambling aimlessly, sometimes with a little aim, kind of like guys in the urinals. And never mind. But you'll get some ramblings of me, my thoughts, and maybe even some suggestions on some books to read, pick up at your local comic book store. That's where it all starts, your local comic book store. So head on over there, grab a handful of comics, and put on Nerds United, either in the car or while you're reading, and enjoy the show.
I want to thank Jenna again for coming on to the show and doing the interview. I think it was a good interview, but then again, I am a little biased because it's my show. If you are interested in her book, Giving Back, which I highly recommend checking out, you can go over to her website. I will put it on the Twitter feed. It's on the Positive Cynicism Facebook page. You can check it out, order it from her directly. I, again, cannot recommend it enough. But if you want to try and win a free copy, I do have an extra copy that I ordered just in the anticipation of giving away to a lucky listener. All you got to do, go over to iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean or wherever you listen to this show, leave a review, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter, hopefully good. I mean, if you're listening to this and actually want to leave a review, I would hope that it's a positive review, but I want honest opinion, because if there's something that you think we could be doing better here, then I need to know. I need to be aware. If I'm not aware of the shortcomings, I can't change it. But go to your favorite podcasting platform, leave a review, take a snapshot, send it to me either on the Positive Cynicism Facebook page, or you can tweet it to me. Again, that's at Chad Smart on Twitter, and you will be entered into a drawing. It is a good book. Highly recommend it. You will not be disappointed if you read it. Remember, all this summer, the Summer of Positivity, hashtag Summer of Positivity giveaways. You never know what's going to happen. Keep coming back for each new episode. And as always, I encourage you to question everything and do something positive.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.